This morning, I would like for us to take a little time to think about, once again, some of the things that we do when we assemble together. You know, a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago now, I lose track of my weeks, we studied about the Lord's Supper. There's something else that we have done this morning as well, and that is laying by in store or giving. You might recall the reference that was on the screen a moment ago about that was written to the Corinthian Christians and, of course, in turn to us, talking about the attitude that we ought to have toward giving, that it ought to be as we purposed in our heart, that it ought to be something that we are willing to do. But this morning, as we think about giving, I want to think about it in terms of what giving really is. In other words, I want us to think about what I've called the depth of giving. I think we understand that we do have authority in God's Word for giving. We find examples of early Christians, the first Christians, giving. We even find that there early on in the book of Acts, as people were coming and laying their goods, their monies, at the feet of the apostles to take care of other saints. And we remember that there was that issue that arose with those who tried to mislead, who really weren't giving as they ought, not because of the amount, but because of their attitude, because of their heart. You remember the two, the husband and the wife, that were struck dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit about what they were giving. And so we have examples as Paul made his journeys. We have examples as well of the Christians gathering together and laying by in store. Paul instructs them, as a matter of fact, to do that on the first day of the week. When he says, when you have come together to partake of the communion, then you need to be laying by in store. And we have that verse that we kind of use as a reference for that, as Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth. This morning, I want us to think about something he wrote in 2 Corinthians. As we began our study about this depth of giving, we want to look primarily at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first five verses. And I think from these verses, you'll begin to kind of see where I'm going with this title, The Depth of Giving. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I think you understand why the title now, The Depth of Giving. This idea of giving is pretty obvious to most of us. It's the idea of presenting something to someone else that has value without any cost to the one we're giving it to. That's the whole idea of giving. And we see that these Macedonian Christians, from the text that we just read, they had given themselves to the Lord. And of course, that idea of self, we get that too, right? Self is the word that talking about my own being, who I am. I've made up my mind to give myself, my intellect, my will, my emotions, my body. That is myself. These words were written to these Christians to remind the Corinthian Christians of what they had promised earlier. These Christians in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, back in the first letter, in chapter 16, the first couple of verses, here's what Paul is alluding back to. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. This was the background, if you will, for what Paul writes there in that second letter. And these instructions in turn really are an example for all Christians, because we're all expected to give for the work of the Lord and for the work of the Lord only. You notice that every example we have where Paul writes, like to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians or in 2 Corinthians, or even if we look at examples from the book of Acts, what we see is that the giving was always for the purpose of furthering the cause of the Lord, whether it be helping other saints, whether it be helping some man like Paul or some of his companions as they traveled and preached, or to help someone who was staying for a particular time in a place, in a location, like we find reference to those who stayed in Ephesus and those who stayed in Corinth, different places for periods of time in a particular location and preached. We see those things in Scripture. And that's a requirement then, according to God's own word, by example and illustration and command, that we do that very thing. And oftentimes when we think of giving, we just kind of stop at thinking of, well, I'm putting some money in the plate as it passes. And yes, it's important to give of our means in that regard. It very much is. Because after all, like we said, we've got commands, we've got examples. But what I want to suggest to you, that we need to take more thought to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8. Because if we are really to give as we ought to give, it's going to be necessary for us to give ourselves to the Lord. Now, this kind of cuts both ways, I guess we could say. A lot of people then take the idea, well, I'm giving a lot of my time, so therefore I ought not to have to give so much of my means. Or then a lot of people, most people, I think, take the opposite view. Well, I've given all I can of my means, and so I really don't have to give much of my time or my service. Well, no, that's not, neither one of those things is what's being talked about in 2 Corinthians 8. It's going to be necessary to give ourselves to the Lord. Giving money actually comes easy for those who have already given themselves to the Lord. Isn't that what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? That the people first gave themselves, and then, even though they didn't have much, it talks about Paul commended them for their liberality. In other words, how generous they were with their physical goods because they had first given themselves to the Lord. If you have time to give, service that you can give, that comes easy too if you have truly given yourself to the Lord. So the converse is true as well. If you find that it is difficult for you to let go of money to put in the contribution, or if you find it is difficult for you to serve in some capacity or to spend some of your time in service to the Lord, then maybe you need to be reconsidering about whether you have really given, and certainly whether you have given yourself to the Lord. If you find it difficult to want to assemble and give your time, if you find it difficult to want to talk to a neighbor or a coworker, if you find it difficult to give monetary things to the work of the Lord, then have you really given yourself? There's some underlying issue there. And I want us to, as we think about the depth of giving this morning, I just want to make three points that help us to understand the depth of giving. The first thing is that giving means denying self. It means giving yourself to the Lord and denying yourself. Do you remember what the Lord said, Mark chapter 8? Of course, we have references to it in other Gospels as well, but Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, Jesus talks about following Him, about being His disciple. And He said, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospel's will save it. I like the way Mark records it for us, because he adds that part in there about whose sake it's for the sake of the Lord, but for the sake of the Gospel. So we have to deny ourselves for that. And a lot of times, when we're looking at this passage in Mark or the record in the other Gospels, we remember really what he says next. We tend to focus on what he says next. Do you remember what he said next? For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We even have songs in our books that we sing that uses that text. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? And we focus on that aspect of not chasing after riches. You know, they say, we look at it and we say, oh, Jesus says, don't be worried about gaining all those riches, because really heaven and an eternity with me is, well, that's true. That's fine. But you see where Jesus' focus really is not about chasing riches. The focus that Jesus really, the premise that he started with back there earlier in the paragraph, is the denying himself. We want to make it be where we don't have to think about the denying ourself part, and we think, oh, I'm just fine. We might not say it out loud, and we might not even realize it and want to admit it to ourselves. But what we're often thinking is, well, I'm just fine because I don't pursue riches. I'm not too concerned about, you know, about going after having more money or more income or keeping more for myself. But what's really more appropriate to what Jesus is saying in these verses is, what else can I deny myself for the Lord? It's not about saying, oh, I'm fine because I'm not really concerned about wealth. See, we want to focus on that part of what Jesus said instead of the beginning. His whole premise is, deny yourself and follow me. What else can I deny myself for the Lord? We need to understand, I think, to understand the depth of giving, what Jesus truly meant when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's impossible to truly be his disciple, to truly follow him, if you don't take up your cross. It's impossible to truly be following him, to truly be his disciple, if we are not denying ourselves. And that means I'm giving myself to him, not to myself. I'm giving myself to him. And so that goes directly to the next point that I wanted to make. That truly to understand the depth of giving, we have to understand that it means we are giving our heart. We're giving our heart to the Lord. And I don't mean the part that pumps. I mean, I'm talking about our mind, our intention, our will. You know, that's been God's attitude toward men always. You may even remember back as the law is being restated to the children of Israel, God's chosen people for that time. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That was his instructions there in Deuteronomy 6:5 as he restated the law to them. And do you remember what Jesus quoted then later as being the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? That's what was intended. Jesus said on that, all the law and all the prophets hinge on that very thing. Well, why is the heart so important? Why is it so important for us to understand that we've got to give our heart? Well, because the heart is so important to our well-being. And again, I'm not just talking about the physical pump. I mean, that's necessary too, obviously. But I'm talking about the way we think. You know, there was a problem back in Genesis chapter 6 with the folks of Noah's day, because unfortunately they were thinking in their heart something they ought not to have been. You remember in Genesis 6:5? The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So see, with our heart, that what we're saying is, that's how I think. Or in Mark chapter 2, verse 8, we see Jesus using the phrase reasoning. Jesus is here in the company of some of the scribes, and they're sitting there and they're thinking about some things, and Jesus has just told somebody that his sins are forgiven. And the scribes are sitting there thinking to themselves and reasoning, it says, in their hearts. Why is he talking like this? He's blaspheming because only God can forgive sins. And in verse 8, immediately Jesus, it says, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? See, it's how we think. It's how we reason. And what we do when we're reasoning, we're taking facts, we're looking at it, we're turning them over in our minds and in our thoughts to come to a conclusion. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 15, as he is quoting from the prophet Isaiah about the people of his day that would not listen and would not see and would not understand, in Matthew 13, 15, he says, for the heart of this people has become dull. They're not thinking right. They're not reasoning right. They've become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. So see, that's why our heart's so important. It's how we think. It's how we reason. It's how we come to an understanding. And that also then means that it leads to our intentions. You remember what the writer of Hebrews says about the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So as our heart hears and we think and we reason, and we come to an understanding, then we develop an intention of what we plan to do. In other words, we purpose. Just like that verse that we noticed earlier from 2 Corinthians 9:7 that we have on the screen often, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so it's with this same heart. This, we think, we reason, we come to an understanding, we develop the intention or the purpose. And Paul tells us as he writes to the Christians in Rome, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, that he, in his heart, had a purpose, but he also had a desire. It's something he wanted to do. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. He's talking about his fellow countrymen, right? His brothers, the Israelites. My heart's desire. You have that desire. You have that intention. You have that purpose. And when we're thinking about God, remember what we read a minute ago in Mark? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You see, the idea of loving there in the heart as well. I have heard it. I have come to an understanding. I have a purpose. I have an intention because I desire to do what God says because I truly love Him. Or as way back as we find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So when we give our heart to the Lord, what are we really giving Him? We're giving Him our way of thinking. We're giving Him our entire purpose, our entire intention, because we have that tremendous love for the Lord. And if we truly then have given ourselves to the Lord, that means we've denied ourselves and instead have given our entire thought process, our entire purposes, our entire intention over to God. So you see, when you have that kind of outlook, it's not difficult to see how someone then would have no problem at all giving of their time or their service or their monetary means, because everything about me is for God. And that brings me to the last point I want to make this morning. It's really giving our life. It's denying ourselves, giving our heart, and giving then not just our intentions, not just our reasoning and the things we think in our heart, but actually acting it out. carrying it to its conclusion. You're all familiar with the verses, I think, from Romans chapter 12. After all, we have been beginning, we have just begun our study from Romans chapters 12 through 16 on Wednesday nights with our guest speakers in our fall series. And you remember that Brother Klein, just a couple of weeks ago, be 3 weeks ago, I guess, now I lose track again, lose track of time. But he spoke about these first two verses of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. You see what we've got to do? We've got to give our whole life, our bodies, a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. Set our life is to be set apart as a sacrifice for God. That is the depth of giving. And how do we come to understand that depth of giving? Well, because what did we just do this morning? We partook of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine to remember the body and the blood of our Lord. Do you understand what He's done? He has given us everything. Not only has He given us everything that we have physically, but He's given us everything that we have spiritually. Sometime, we won't take the time to do it right now, this morning, but sometime just sit down and read in one sitting through Ephesians. That's the way Paul starts out that letter, is listing all the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's because of the sacrifice that He made for us. Then how little would it be for us to give ourselves in His service, a sacrifice to Him? When we give our bodies, when we give our lives that living sacrifice, we're giving our eyes to see. We're giving our ears to hear. We're giving our mouths to speak. We're giving our hands to serve. We're giving our feet to go. You know, how beautiful are the feet of those who go to teach the gospel. If you have that outlook and that understanding of the depth of giving, then how easy is it to give of your time and your service and your means? These are three simple, easy points to grasp, but sometimes they're so hard to apply. Sometimes we forget really what denying self means and that God really meant it when He said it. Sometimes we forget what it means to give all our heart, all our thoughts and intentions to the Lord, because we're too busy thinking about what I want to do or what I perceive that I need to do or what I should do or what would be enjoyable for me. Sometimes we forget really what it means to give ourselves as that sacrifice, our whole life as that sacrifice. But you know, the results of doing those things are pretty obvious. I mean, on the surface, yes, it's going to make us want to give of our means liberally and give of our time liberally and give of our service liberally. But what it's going to do when we truly are willing to give ourselves over to the Lord, then we don't have a bit of trouble understanding what Jesus meant in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when He said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." We don't have a bit of trouble grasping that if we understand the depth of giving. He goes on and says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We need to learn to be satisfied with God's plan. Well, that's why earlier, as we're looking in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name." Then He goes on and talks about Your kingdom coming, which we understand that Jesus now is King. But then that next phrase, your will be done. How often have we stopped and dwelt on that phrase? Your will be done. If we truly understand the depth of giving, we're not going to have a bit of trouble putting His kingdom first. We're not going to have a bit of trouble being able to say, your will be done. In fact, it's going to make us want to be like the Lord. You know, Paul, as he wrote to the Galatians, he wrote in chapter 2, verse 20, about the attitude, what he had come to understand about what his life really was. He said in verse 20 of chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. See, there's the depth of giving. He gave Himself up for me. So the life that I'm living now, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. I have been crucified with Christ. So that means everything about me is striving to be like Him. Our walk, our talk, the way we dress, it's not going to be a problem if we truly understand the depth of giving. It's when we don't grasp how deep giving really is and what it really means to give ourselves to the Lord, that's when the way we act becomes a problem. That's when the way we talk becomes a problem. That's when the way we dress becomes a problem. Because we're not giving it to God. It's about me. We ought to be able to develop that same strong confidence that the Apostle Paul had. He wrote to Timothy about it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, there in verse 12, a powerful statement, I know who I have believed, and I'm convinced that He is able to guard that which I have entrusted Him until that day. But then later on in chapter 4, He continues that same thought about what the day is, about what the future holds. He says in chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, that's when He talks about in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul had that confidence. He had that trust in God. I know who I've believed. And I know that He's going to keep me. I know that in the future, there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness. Sometimes from a physical outlook, the price of giving may be steep. It might be high. Sometimes it cost us family. You know, Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that's when now we go back to what we read earlier from Mark, now in Matthew, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. See, the cost may be high. It may be family. Some of you may remember that I've mentioned from time to time a friend of mine from years ago, back in school, who decided she needed to become a Christian, and her family did not approve of that. We were away in a different state in college, and she was from the same town that I was, and she got back. We were all for Thanksgiving break, and she got there, and her parents wouldn't let her in the house, had the house locked, and all of her belongings stacked out in the carport, and wouldn't let her in because she had become a Christian. She understood the price sometimes is high, but if we've truly given, that price is insignificant to us. Sometimes it may just be that it's not with our family. Maybe it's just men in general. Maybe we want to have the favor of men. Maybe we want to look good in folks' eyes. Jesus addressed that in John chapter 12 when he talked to some of the rulers, and they were convinced who he was. But then John makes the note, nevertheless, in verse 42 of John 12, many even of the rulers that believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the assembly or the synagogue. It may be that there will be some physical suffering. you know, Paul wrote to Timothy, the same Timothy that he wrote to that we looked at his confidence a minute ago in chapter 1 and chapter 4. In between that, in chapter 3, that's the very same Paul that wrote, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." But he still had that confidence, you see. You see, giving yourself truly to the Lord is worth whatever price. It's worth whatever price. We've just got to come to the understanding of what the real depth of giving is. Yes, we take money up together on the first day of the week when we're here, because we have examples of that. And yes, that's important. But it's got to start from somewhere a lot deeper than just putting monetary goods in a tray. It's got to start with our understanding of denying ourselves, giving our heart, that is, all of our thoughts and purposes and intentions to God, and then acting it out. Giving our whole life to the Lord. Then the rest of it becomes, as we sometimes use the phrase, second nature. It becomes part of me to give my money to the Lord. It becomes part of me to give my time to the Lord. It becomes part of me to give my service to the Lord. There may be those who are here this morning that need to respond to the Lord. Give yourself to Him. Become His child. Have your sins washed away by His blood in the baptism that He so clearly explains for us. Repenting, turning from our old self, putting on this new man, living a new life. Perhaps you've done that, but you have not been giving yourself to the Lord. You have left off things that you should be doing or not, you know, or maybe done things you ought not do because you were focused on self rather than on God. Or perhaps you're here this morning and need prayers of strength and encouragement to be able to pray along with your brothers and sisters in Christ to God for that strength and for that guidance. Whatever your circumstance may be, certainly we would be glad to help you in any way that we can if you would let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing the song that Brother Stephen has selected for us.